Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. I think we'll give it a second while people are joining. Okay, looks like most people have joined the call. Hi, this is Emily Cooper, the Chief Housing Officer at the Executive Office of Elder Affairs. Happy August. Hope you're all someplace cool on these hot days. Okay. Thanks for joining us today. Some of you are regulars and have been on these calls, and some of you may be new to them. So the first thing I want to do is just deal with technology. So you may, I'm at this, after 4 or 5 months of doing Zoom calls, I know you are all experts, but I like to just make sure that everybody knows how the call works. So I want to thank Leading Age for helping us with that. And I'm going to turn it over to Lynn, who's going to make sure everybody's technology works.
Thank you, Emily. Good afternoon, everyone. So real quick, the default for entering this meeting is to be muted. So if you are interested in making a comment or asking a question, you will need to unmute yourself. And the way that you go about doing that, for those on a computer, you would just hover over your toolbar and look for the little microphone icon to click on that to unmute yourself. If you are on the phone, you'll need to press *6. And we just do ask you that if you are unmuting yourself to ask a question or make a comment, that you do remute yourself after, and you would do it the same way. So by clicking the microphone icon or by pressing *6. We also encourage those on a computer to use the chat box. We will, we have numerous people on this call who will be monitoring that and making sure that all of the questions and comments in there are addressed. For those on the phone who don't have access to the chat box but have questions and access to email, you're welcome to email me at lmonaghan@leadingagema.org.
Great. Thanks, Lynn. And hello to everybody. Again, thanks to Leading Age. Because of their support, we've been able to have these calls on a regular basis. They handle all the technology. They're all the fun people behind the curtain making this work, and we couldn't have done it without them. As I mentioned, I am Emily. I'm with the Executive Office at Elder Affairs, the state. I am not the only part of this partnership, though. There are actually, this is a partnership between Elder Affairs and multiple state housing agencies. We came together early on when the pandemic first hit to recognize that you all were really on the front lines of not only housing older adults, but dealing with how we are going to do it in a safe way and in a way that helped with everybody's overall well-being. So I want to just take a moment to both thank those agencies, but also let them say a few words. So David Ng, do you want to unmute yourself?
Thanks, Emily. And thank you for Emily for being our leader, really, and making sure that these weekly, monthly calls happen and are really on point. And thanks everyone for participating today on a beautiful summer day. Hopefully you will hear some excellent information from Leanne and be able to use it effectively for your development and your residents. So thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Dave. And Amy Stightley?
Hi. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us yet again. I'm really excited about today's topic because it's about living in the pandemic, not responding to the pandemic. So thank you to our guests for joining us.
Great. And Sarah Barkin.
Thank you, Emily. Sarah Barkin from CDAC. Really glad to see you all today, and we appreciate your continued commitment to coming together for all of this mutual learning we have been doing through this forum in recent months. Looking forward to the presentation. Thank you.
Well, thank you, everybody, and thanks for joining us today. I know we're actually a little bit of a smaller group. And I think some of that I'm hoping is that people are getting back to normal and going on some vacations that they have really earned during the past couple of months. As I mentioned, this is a partnership that began many months ago, and these calls are just one part of the partnership. We actually have a dedicated email address, seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov, which Allison lovingly has put in the chat room. So again, it's seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov. You can feel free to email that with questions, with stories, with concerns, with issues, and we do triage what comes in there, and we try and get you an answer or try and figure out the best place to get you some information and send that along. We also have a listserv of about 400 or 500 people now, and anyone can join. And we send out all sorts of information that we think would be relevant, ranging from grant opportunities to stories to information about new initiatives that are going on. Again, if you want to join the listserv, the best thing to do is to email seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov. Lastly, we have these calls. And when we first started, these calls were weekly. We've gone down to every other week. And I think moving forward, I loved what Amy just said. I'm going to brand it now and give her credit, which is moving forward, we love this forum of bringing you all together, but we want to talk about how we're going to live in the pandemic, not just respond to it. And so I think right now, what that means is starting in September, we're going to be looking at monthly calls with you all, and it'll be on topics that we hope are of interest to you. We don't want to lose this great energy, but at the same time, we recognize that, you know, I can't believe I'm saying this, things might have settled a little bit, and, you know, maybe this is a forum for talking about issues that are of interest to all of us, and hopefully not just about the pandemic in the future. So today, however, we are lucky to have with us Leanne Taylor from Walk Boston. Don't let the name fool you. She works across the state, so don't just jump off the call right away. We wanted to make sure we got Leanne on as quickly as possible because she has information about some funding opportunities that you may be interested in, and so they're timely, they're time sensitive. Not only are they funding opportunities, but they are things that Leanne herself will help you with. So if you're interested in applying for something, she has offered her help to help you write the application and things like that. Because I know everybody's a little short-staffed right now and a little overwhelmed. I thought that was great. So I'm going to actually turn things over to Leanne, who's going to tell you about these grant opportunities. Then we'll hear from some providers, housing agencies who might be applying and what they might be interested in, and take some questions from you all. Feel free to put your questions in the chat, as you heard. I will also allow a time for people to unmute their phone, or you can email Lynn at the email she gave earlier. Okay, Leanne, take it away.
Thank you, Emily, and thanks everyone for the warm welcome. That felt really generous. Thanks. It's great to be here to talk about funding, something that you know, we don't always have the opportunity of sharing funding opportunities, but we do right now. And so I'm really happy to connect with you all about what this could look like for senior housers. So I guess the framework of all of this is that the hat that I wear is a pedestrian advocate, specifically a pedestrian advocate for seniors. So that's kind of my day-to-day. That's the world I'm living in. My partners are councils on aging, housing authorities, municipalities, to try to get walkable conditions for seniors. So how that has looked in COVID has been all of these things are popping up for, you all are probably seeing it in all of your communities, is that we're re-envisioning street space for COVID recovery. And that's looking like expanding sidewalks or outdoor dining. You may be seeing those things popping up. But what I've really been wanting to see more of, and I'm working with funders to see more of, is how can this serve seniors, specifically seniors who are homebound, maybe have been homebound since the beginning of the pandemic. I would love to see some of these funds go to serving I guess, quality of life during COVID recovery for seniors specifically. So these funding opportunities, which I've linked both into the chat here, are very different. And I think that both of them could fit with senior housers and the work that you all are doing every day to serve your seniors. I think one of them maybe will rise to the top for most people on the call over the other. One of them is a private foundation, so much more flexible, and the other is a state opportunity, which, as most of you all probably know, sometimes isn't quite as flexible and is a little bit more cumbersome to apply for. So I can talk about both really briefly and talk about how I can help apply for them, as Emily spoke to, how I can help think through ideas for them. The first that I'll talk about is the private foundation. So that's the Solomon Foundation. They have been helping communities think through how to reclaim space for physical activity, for just simply getting outdoors, for better walking conditions. So they are helping communities at the smaller scale do short, temporary, or long-term things under the cost of $10,000 to give people the space they need to be healthy during COVID. And so I was talking with Emily and talking with others at EOEA about what could this look like specifically for seniors. And I've had the chance to talk with some housers. So really, I think that these $10,000 could go, you know, it's not as much as the state opportunity, but $10,000 could go pretty far for really activating what space you might have at your housing facilities, your outdoor space. You know, if you look at the opportunities, you may see, oh, this doesn't look like a fit because these photos are full road closures. And so don't be discouraged by the photos you might see on the Solomon Foundation website. I would say that what I think in speaking with others, this could be benches, shade. It could be setting off space for a walking loop around your parking lot. It could be what is warm weather things for outdoor space, but what is that going to look like in the winter? Do you need heaters? Because we want seniors to have spaces that aren't just their apartment. We know community spaces are often closed. So how can we get more people to use outdoor space in all weather conditions? So I think really thinking about amenities in your outdoor space is a good way to think of it. Or you can think about expanded space, which maybe not everybody has the campus structure for expanded space, but some may be falling on a street that could be easy to take over with partnership of the municipality to actually expand your courtyard. Maybe that doesn't apply to everybody and you would be more in the bench and landscaping, raised bed garden, walking loop in your parking lot world. But I think all of that to say is that there's extreme flexibility with the Solomon opportunity, and they're very motivated to see some examples of these opportunities serving seniors. So I talk with them every day about who's applying and what is it looking like, and they're aware that I'm really hoping to see this serve seniors. They want it to as well. So I think that they would be really completely open-minded and flexible because they aren't experts like you all are in the needs of seniors. So if you said, actually, we need full shade over our courtyard and misting fans, and it doesn't have a lot to do with walking, I think they would hear that and not try to shut it down at all. So I think, yeah, thinking about it as an opportunity to activate the space you have or to take over a little bit of an expansion of space are two ways to think of it. So that's the Solomon opportunity, $10,000 rolling opportunity. It doesn't have a deadline, much more flexible and open to private housers, municipal housers. It's very flexible. And then the other opportunity is a state grant, which is up to $300,000. And that one would require a little bit more partnership with your actual town. Many towns have already applied to this opportunity. About 50% of Massachusetts towns have applied. And if your town has already applied, they can still apply again. So it wouldn't be off the table if you know that you've seen street closures in your town to do outdoor dining. And so you think, well, this couldn't happen in Framingham. I've already seen that. That doesn't have to be the case, because if it hasn't served seniors, they would be open to getting a reapplication that does serve vulnerable populations. But I think the difference with the state opportunity is that the application will likely need to include, in partnership with the municipality, real heavy emphasis on expansion of space. So I think you would want to think about those campuses or those facilities that don't have a lot of space but are adjacent to streets that the municipality would be open to considering change traffic pattern for. Or, that's one thing, expansion of space. The other thing is improvement of safety. So if you are a houser who knows your seniors have a lot of difficulties in crossing some of the streets because there aren't crosswalks or there aren't signs or there aren't adequate nighttime lighting, you know, bigger infrastructure safety specific elements that you really would like to see at your campus, that those would be the types of things that MassDOT, I think, would be really encouraged by to and likely to apply for expanded space and better safety. So if those are things you've heard from your residents, I think that should still be on the table for you, MassDOT, but given given the nature of state grants, it would require a real partnership with the municipality, but that's something that I could help with. We work in across the Commonwealth, all 351 towns, we know at least one person in. So I think that that wouldn't be off the table if you have a big vision for better safety at your facility. So that's kind of the high level, what are these grants? And then I guess the nitty gritty of how I could help is just, you know, ideation to implementation. I think at this point, because Solomon's so motivated to see some of these applications roll in, I could just get on a quick call with you, think about some ideas, what your seniors need, help you write it down, send it over to Solomon, say, what do you think? And Solomon would say, yes, or change it this way, and the funds would come to you. I could even help with implementation. So I think however you need is the answer to how I can help, because everybody really wants to see this happen. I think we're totally flexible to the needs of housers who we know are under a lot of stress right now. So I don't know if everybody on this call only wears the hat of a houser, but we're also thinking through what this could look like at Councils on Aging and Senior Center facilities, if any of you partner with them. This is also something on their radar because as they start to think about outdoor space programming at their senior facilities. So these are kind of the two buckets of places we're trying to apply these funds to. But if anybody on the call has other ideas of how shared streets could serve seniors, we're totally open to all input. But housing seemed like a good place to start. So I was happy to connect with Emily on this and with this group, which seems like a great opportunity to connect with you all directly. So that's the big picture. I don't know if I missed things, Emily, that I could fill in the blanks.
How about
of.
I ask you a couple of high questions? So remind me, how much is the funding max for the Solomon Foundation grant?
The max is $10,000 for Solomon.
Okay, and is there a minimum?
There is not a minimum.
Okay, so if I just wanted to buy some nice benches to make my outdoor space a little bit nicer, or some sort of tent kind of structure so that people could be outside, and I'm gonna get nitty gritty. What about if I wanted to hire somebody to do like a patio and then get some grill and furniture for that? Does that fit into the Solomon Foundation?
Yes, I think nothing's off the table. They want to activate outdoor space. So I think that can look many ways. I think we would make a list of all of the possibilities and say, what do you think about these?
Okay. So I know I hear from a lot of people gardening boxes that are, that they have to find, they want to find somebody to build gardening boxes or walking paths or anything along those lines from little to big is what you're saying.
Exactly. I actually brought up raised bed gardens when you told me that on the call, and they were like, wow, that's a great idea. Yeah, totally. We would do that. So I did bring up that specific example. And actually I talked with the Mass Councils on Aging Dementia Friendly team, and they said one thing that we really want to see more opportunities for is loop walking in outdoor spaces, because not every senior feels comfortable heading out on the sidewalk. And I shared that with Solomon, and they thought we could help come implement a temporary or permanent walking loop around the perimeter of your housing facility, around the perimeter of your parking lot. They have the supplies that they could help do that with, and they really loved that idea.
Not just the money, but the people and
they have
supplies?
They have a team of people that can come out, and they have supply vendors that they think they recommend for safety barriers. So they have the resources.
So somebody's asked, could it be used for lighting enhancement on sidewalks? I assume that means sidewalks kind of near your housing property.
Yes, I think absolutely. I would say that having worked on some lighting projects myself, it's a pretty, the bill can be pretty high depending on how involved you mean for lighting. And not sure, Vicki, which town you're in, but I don't know how far $10,000 would go for lighting. I think Solomon would be open to that, but I do think the MassDOT opportunity could be a good lighting, large scale lighting for brighter sidewalks is completely within the scope of the MassDOT opportunity. So I'd be interested to know, Vicki, which town you're.
What about like blue boxes, alert button stations, if you had them along a path? I don't know even how those work. Those plug into that might be more of a DOT grant thing, I would imagine, because that plugs into the emergency response for the town.
Right. Yeah. I don't know as much about that world to be able to answer that question, but it sounds safety to me. So, and more involved again with electrical and all of those things that maybe are probably beyond $10,000.
So the DOT grant seems a little bit, more daunting because I have to make friends with the town and then the town may be wanting to do something different with this money, and your town may be really big. It may be Boston or Worcester. It may be really small, like, you know, Sutton. Is there a way of knowing like which towns are interested in having a conversation or who I like before we start going that? I mean, and maybe actually we also have James Fuccioni on the call from the Mass Healthy Aging Collaborative. And I asked him to sit in to answer some questions as well. He's working with communities across the board. So if there were some communities that we knew were already interested in this funding and would welcome conversation versus me trying to beat down the door and find the right person to talk to, is that something, Leanne or James, you could help us with?
Yeah, I mean, so Leanne mentioned how you know at least one person in every community, and we know plenty of folks, regional partners across the state, including regional planning agencies, most of which we're partnering with, that I'm sure would be willing to help you put some thought into what's going on. But we have 72 now, we're up to 72. We just added Fall River as an age-friendly designated community. So we're up to 72 communities where you have at least a couple of people that have met and are thinking about how to make that community better for all ages, particularly older adults. So, you know, many of those communities have coalitions that may have put their age and dementia-friendly initiatives on the side burner during COVID, but they're still there, they're still working, and they're still, you know, they're interested or have a passion for this type of work. So, you have in a lot of communities some ready-made partners. And just like Leanne, although I would say Leanne is the gold standard for your assistance with this, I can also help you think through things. We have plenty of resources on, you know, shared streets and spaces and all kinds of things that AARP and other organizations have put out. Walk Boston has plenty of resources on their website that I think Allison linked to, but we're here to help you think through all that.
And the DOT money has a deadline, right? What's that deadline again?
It does. And I'm going to actually share this in the chat as well. The DOT deadline is the end of September, I think the 27th. So it's actually coming up. But I just shared a link to the press release announcements of what's been funded. So for those of you who are thinking about, has my community already done this? Should I start the conversation? This list may give you some insight into who's already applied. For example, I saw the Cape Cod group. I know they have applied, but not all towns on Cape Cod. So I think that depending on if you're serving regional versus one town, maybe this could help guide to see if those conversations have already started or not. And if you see that your town isn't even on the list, I think if you want to email me and say, my town's not on this list and I want to think about if I should do MassDOT versus Solomon, I think we can talk through that because.
We will put Leanne's email in this chat room as well. So, and it's ltaylor@walkboston.org, just in case you can't see the chat room. Let me just also clarify one last thing. The Solomon money, there's no deadline. And so it's rolling, but will the money run out? Should I apply now? Like, I'm gonna, if I miss my, if I don't do it right now, it's gonna be gone?
No.
Okay.
We don't need to worry about that.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're also reserving in their minds funds to serve vulnerable populations. So school-aged kids and seniors are two groups that they feel they have yet to serve. So that is, they're allocating their funds according to wanting to serve those two age groups at the ends of the spectrum.
Great, thanks. All right, so I'm just gonna actually shoot over to John Lutz, who's on the call. I'm gonna ask John to unmute himself. John is with Two Life Communities, and John will tell us a little bit about what Two Life Communities is. Then I think they have already been thinking about how to use these funds and how, which funds and in what way. And so I asked John to speak a little bit about it. We're not going to hold you to any of these ideas, but to actually help other people think about what they might do. So John, do you mind sharing your thoughts?
Sure. Thanks, Emily. Glad to. Two Life is a senior independent living housing. We have four campuses, about 1,500 individuals live with us. And we're having lots of exciting things happen with them during the last several months, me doing things for them we haven't ever done before. So that's been fun. We've had the pleasure. We've already met with Leanne. I met with her. She's met, talked with some of our program folks. We were very excited. She wasn't quite as excited when we thought, well, could we reroute Commonwealth Avenue and the T and make it very safe for our elders to walk up to the Chestnut Hill Reservoir? But she didn't seem like that ambitious, like, you know, that maybe we need to tamp down our ideas a little bit. But mostly what we've talked about, and I think and some of our program folks are on, is looking at our campuses and trying to say, especially in the COVID world, but even beyond that, how can we maximize the amount of space people can have to get outside, get some exercise, enjoy the out-of-doors without having to leave campus? A couple of our campuses have quite a bit of space. And unfortunately now, many of our walking paths involve walking in our parking lot. And so we're trying to find a way to separate that. There's a clear separation between cars and seniors, and just trying to find a way to maximize the amount of space that we've got. And maybe even finding ways to invite the community to use them as well. So it becomes, you know, a community center or a community, you know, village center type idea, where it's not just our residents using it, but it maybe is a path, you know, like here in Brighton, it's a path from Commonwealth to Chestnut Hill Avenue, that means people are using it in a safe way. Right now, lots of community and local folks use our parking lots to get from one side to the other. Maybe we can find a way to do it so it's a little bit safer and encourages some interaction with the local community as well.
Great, thanks, John. I think whereas Two Life is big and has big campuses and a walking path might make sense, I think it was helpful to hear from Leanne that even little small projects are workable, and that there's a rolling way to do that. James, do you want to add something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, talking about the Solomon Foundation as the more flexible option and the $10,000 sort of ceiling for that, and none of this has to be crazy, extravagant, innovative, or complex. I mean, even a temporary solution could lead to something more permanent and can give you sort of a use case to advocate to get funding to do something else in the future. So just to keep that in mind, this is an opportunity to, even if it's something small, to lead to something more significant in the future. So I just wanted to make sure that was out there too.
So I personally have been starting to think about cold weather, right, and that coming, and ways to make outdoors safe for people, older adults, so that they don't feel cooped up. So Leanne, I'm gonna throw a bunch of things like heat lamps, and all weather tenting, and things that you would do if you, you know, were having a wedding and suddenly it started to rain, flooring and, you don't want people walking around. Can I throw those all in there for, you know, weather planning for outdoor activities? Does it need to be permanent?
No, yeah, I actually brought up wind structures. Someone asked me about wind structures for colds and heaters. So I've already actually brought up that combination, and they thought that was a great idea because being outside doesn't live in a cold place. It can't stop in a couple months. So it's on their radar. So I would say, okay. I didn't ask about flooring. I don't know. I mean,
well,
I don't know.
You know, why, it's fall. I was thinking falls prevention was what I was thinking. That,
yeah.
You know, that the surface might be helpful. We have somebody suggested that they had music and aromatherapy outside the building. Are you looking at programming as an option, or is it really hard physical structure?
I think we would be more in the infrastructure bucket and less in the programmatic structure. But I think if you had the infrastructure to more safely do your programming physically distanced, then you could do things like that. So I think if Perfectly Balanced already was thinking about, if they already have the space to do those programs with physical distance, great. But if you don't, and they could be safer and more COVID compliant with more benches for spacing or misting, fan misters so that more people want to be out there. I think thinking about how can you get more people to come to your programs with infrastructure would be the route to think about these.
So Leanne, you mentioned this earlier. I'm going to really put you on the spot. I hope that's okay.
Yes.
You said you could help. So when you first called me, I said to you, these housers are overwhelmed. They are maxed out. They have been running on empty for months. The last thing they do is have the time to write a grant application. You know, they don't, and the ones that do have the time, they can apply. They have interns, they whatever. These people are gonna be like, ugh, not one more thing. So did I hear you say earlier that you would really kind of do plug in any way, including sort of saying, oh, I'm gonna talk to this person, tell me your idea, I'll help write it up for you and help you submit it?
Yeah, I think the only ask is a phone call. Really, if I could have a phone call with you and talk about what you need to get your list together, that would be the lift on their end that I would definitely need. 30-minute phone call.
I saw some people clapping. So, Leanne, I hope you're not taking vacation anytime soon. All right. So, I've gone through the questions that have come in the chat room. Is there anyone who'd like to unmute themselves and ask a question directly on the phone? And if so, just tell me your name when you do.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Paula Eldridge. I'm calling from Breer Gardens in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Hello.
Lee, and in order to call you, would you be willing to give us your phone number?
Oh, sure. That would help, right? We don't have an office phone right now because we're fully remote. I'll type it in the chat if you can see the chat. Can you see the chat?
865-679-9227.
That's me. That's my personal line, so don't give it out.
She's busy right now, but in about 25 minutes, you can call her.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Paula, before you go, is there anything that when you're listening to this, is there something, an idea that you're thinking about for your gardens?
Breer Gardens is on the Duville Life and Wellness Community Campus in Lowell. So we have a very nice campus and we do have a beautiful walking trail and park. But I find that so many of my tenants love congregating in the front of the building. We have a back patio, but I was thinking, how do we cover that to give them space where they can go out in the rain or whatever? But also for ideas of what could we do more in the front of the building, since they love congregating out here, but we don't have a lot of room. They all to social distance in a big way. So my mind is kind of spinning in that route.
Got it. Great. Thanks, Paula.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. This is always a good call.
Thanks. Leanne, there's some questions about what's the actual application process? Let's talk about for the Solomon. You know, you're saying, oh, I'll write up something and send it in. Is there an actual form or is it that casual?
I just linked there's a specific part of the Solomon website that has a bright yellow banner on the right that talks about the application. So it's as simple as this: your name, your location, your project partners. You can include me because they know me. The need for the project, that can be in a bulleted list. They're accepting applications on a rolling basis and you just have to email them. It's very simple, but I can even do that much for you.
Wow. I think we're going to have fire pits across the state now. I want one of those big pools that everybody's trying to get in my neighborhood. Maybe we could see some of those. So there's a question. Many grants are restricted to nonprofits, which some senior housing is not a nonprofit. Is the Solomon open to anybody, or is there some restriction on that?
There isn't a restriction. They say elected officials, city departments, nonprofits, or community groups or neighbors, and that was just examples. So I think it doesn't say no private applicant. So and they already know of John's application, who's a private partner. So and housing authorities are definitely on the list.
Okay, but for-profit companies that run housing as well would be, if they're running senior housing, could apply.
Yes.
Okay. And do you have to show that you need the money? Like sometimes you have money, but you have to demonstrate, you have to demonstrate it's being used elsewhere.
I think so. Just to answer that question, they will prioritize if you are serving. They're prioritizing equity. So if you're living in a community that happens to have a high percentage of low-income seniors, or your facility is for low-income seniors, that would bump you up in the priority list, just given everybody's real focus on equity in their grant program. So there is a desire to have partners and to serve seniors that have higher either income or mobility needs, or to from those communities that are gateway cities or lower income communities. That is a priority. But in terms of demonstrating that you need the money more than someone else, that's not a part of the application, but I think it will be something they're reading on their end for if they're trying to decide between two applications. They will have an equity focus for high need, low income seniors, definitely.
And what's the timing? If somebody goes online right now and submits something, what's the timing like for when they might find out and the funds might be available?
The person that you're sending your application to is actual, this is all she's working on right now. So she's really motivated to get back to folks quickly. So Allison Burson is her name. It's whose email is linked on the application, and you would hear back from her probably immediately. So quick. And
because
in
I imagine
terms of fund allocation, yeah, also quick.
Because I imagine some of these things are weather dependent, right? So if you don't get the money for another 3 months, then it's hard to break ground in the cold, build
yes.
a patio in the cold.
Some people are wanting, like a lot of housing authorities may, who are doing something with their municipality, if some of it requires paint on the road. I know, like I just did something in Salem and they're actually wanting to repaint something on the road. They were giving them more of a month of estimate just to have a painting crew come out. So I think it depends on, are you just purchasing supplies? Or are you actually trying to do something to the road?
So you've mentioned this a few times and I want to make sure I get it straight. You apply for the funds and then let's say they give me $8,000 and then I go find, however it is, I find somebody to build my patio for $8,000. But it sounds like there was a little nuance to it where that what I'm applying for is actually not just the money, but the help doing mm-hmm. the task. And how do I, and where's the limitations on what kind of help they can give?
So they're a pretty small team. They have two planners and an engineer. So I think that the team that would come out, how it would look is you have an idea. They could do a site visit with you, or I could do that to think about what supplies would be needed. So their team could come out and think about the supply list. They could recommend supplies. And then I think could come out and help you place the supplies safely. So if you needed barriers and you wanted the placement of them to be correct based on safety, they could come out and kind of watch that installation to make sure it's happening. This all sounds very kind of elaborate, but it's much more informal than it's just them coming out, helping you with implementation, we'll call it, but they aren't a construction crew. So if your thing is a full permanent patio, they do not have builders. But if your thing is more of an installation of temporary barriers or an installation of benches or finding out what's the best bench, those are things they could help with, but they're not a construction crew.
So the bottom line is after this call, everybody should call you, talk to you about their ideas.
Yes. Yeah.
You will help them construct the ask of Solomon mm-hmm. or send them to DOT stuff and help them navigate which way to go and see it through.
Yeah. And I really left out a big detail about the DOT thing, that a real great benefit of this opportunity for the Department of Transportation is that they're offering free technical assistance to all communities, meaning they have three design firms who are on their team that you can call or email to say, we want to do a $300,000 project, but we have these priorities and they can help you construct the application. So just like I'm describing, I can help with Solomon. They have three technical assistance providers at the Department of Transportation who are giving free technical assistance for those larger grants.
Great. So I've been asking you a lot of questions. I think I covered the ones in the chat room. I want to make sure that there aren't any. Did Lynn, did anybody email in a question? No, she's saying no. Okay. Does anybody else want to unmute themselves, or James or John, do you want to add anything in?
I was just going to add in some context for the MassDOT, the Shared Streets and Spaces opportunities. A lot of where those are going directionally are for kind of economic recovery, downtown districts, main streets, opening up restaurants, that kind of thing. So when you're talking about communities that are already in process for that stuff, they could still use sort of an age-friendly, older adult-focused lens on those projects. So there's still an opportunity to influence that. It may not go to your housing site, but it's still maybe something that's useful for you and the community and your residents. So just wanted to kind of toss that out there. I mean, you know, MassDOT's also looking at, you know, safe routes to schools, I think, and some other things. So while Solomon Foundation is sort of the seemingly more inclusive, wants to get sort of some other projects besides the MassDOT stuff involved, it's all an opportunity to influence something that could improve your community for older adults. And, you know, I'm here kind of supporting Leanne, supporting all this work. So
great.
So happy to help as well.
Yeah, I think a good example, I saw a question, I just want to build on, Bolton is in the Berkshires, and I just heard from them about they actually decided to use their funds to make two crosswalks near senior housing safer. So that's a really great example of, like, there was already that relationship between the city and the Dalton Housers. And so they knew that that needed to happen. So that was an example of what James just described. I think that was great.
So you have some questions came in. Is there a $10,000 cap, the $10,000 cap per project or per organization? Like, if I have two ideas at $10,000 each, can you apply for multiple, or I own two different buildings and I want to do two different things in the two different buildings, but I'm the same organization.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it would probably be a question, Sarah, that I would need to know more about the proposal and run by them and see what they think. I think if you were serving seniors in different towns, that's serving totally different populations. So yes, I think would be the answer there. But if you want to apply for one campus that's next to the other for benches in two places, I don't know. Okay. I think I'd have to know more about the application.
All right. And somebody else wants to make a walking track on the roof deck. So, which could be fun. But it sounds, I don't know if you could do that for $10,000, but the roof deck's already there. I don't know. They should call you, right?
Yeah. I mean, I have no idea what the scope of the cost of that would be. To me, also, Emily, sounds like more than $10,000, but maybe not.
Okay. So I know that I can see who's on the call, and I know that some of you don't own the housing. You might operate it, or maybe you're a service provider who works in housing. And so I want to encourage you to share this information with your housing partners, your housing authorities that you work with. And, you know, really, you can play up the fact that this is not, it seems like it's not a heavy lift, no pun intended when we're talking about construction. It's not a heavy lift for the to get these funds, and that maybe you, if you're a service provider or property manager, have some ideas and can work with Leanne, and then the owner can kind of bless that. So, you know, just know that these resources are out there. I was excited when I heard not only are they really flexible, but that both James and Leanne are really excited to help you all in any way they can get these funds. All right, so does anyone want to unmute themselves and ask a question? Do we have any other questions? Okay. Anything, Leanne or Jane?
I'll ask another quick question.
Go ahead, Sarah.
If a proposed project it costs in excess of $10,000, I assume it's okay to combine this grant with other resources that the property owner may have. Is that right?
Yes, I think that would be highly encouraged, actually. Yeah.
And, Sarah works for a firm, an agency that helps when buildings are in development. You know, they're being created, being built. If somebody was building something now and it's pretty much, you know, people are just about to move in and they're thinking about this, could they apply for foundation funds while the building is, you know, can they combine this with actually creating the building if people aren't living there yet? I know that's a reach.
I think,
but I'm just thinking about, we have a lot of senior, yeah. Okay, we have a lot of senior housing that is being created, but it sounds like what you want to do is take seniors right now and get them outside.
I think that's the goal, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Great. Okay, so can you buy one of those Intex pools that everybody in my neighborhood wants, those big inflatable blue ones?
Are you going to apply, Emily, for your house?
I'm going to apply for the Intex pool to get this older adult outside. Exactly. All right. Well, I'm not seeing any more questions. I just want to give people a chance. Leanne and James and everybody. Oh, fitness trackers. Fitness tracker watches.
Yeah, I think, again, just the infrastructure. So do those people have the loop to use the fitness tracker? That would probably be the thought I would have. More infrastructure.
Right. Right. Like if it was part of, you're creating a fitness loop, you buy the fitness trackers, but not just here's the trackers, because you want to get the space. You're looking at
the space.
Outdoor space.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, James.
I was just going to say, I mean, you may not have the space for a loop, and hopefully Leanne doesn't slap me via chat here for this. I don't know how much it costs, but, you know, there's outdoor fitness equipment that many communities and councils on aging have put. There's just one that just got installed recently in Worcester on the grounds of their council on aging. So, you know, aside from that, there's other things that you could do with a small amount of space. We already talked about raised garden beds, and we have connections to all sorts of organizations, including local cultural councils that maybe be able to do something creative with an art installation that's also useful in some way, like a bench or something else that makes it, you know, more interesting and aesthetically pleasing than just your average bench. But just, you know, don't rule anything out, and any ideas you have, again, we can chat with you about it.
Yeah, and I think they're looking to also some other countries who do a lot of things outside. You know, there's ping pong tables, there's bocce courts, there's all sorts of way to reprogram, you know, shuffleboard, that's the shuffleboard courts. I mean, there's all sorts of things that are game related, you know, built-in chess boards that might be useful for people to get, to encourage them to go do something outside.
Yes.
Somebody just asked, yes, shuffleboard or bocce court. Yes.
You read her mind.
Yes. So I want to remind people we're going to take the rest of August off. We're going to reconvene on September 24th, but we are still around. So feel free to email us at seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov. Any questions you have, even if you, you know, forgot Leanne's name or number and you need to reach her, you know, please join our listserv, seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov. And please stay safe and enjoy the rest of your summer. So thanks for being with us, and we'll see you all later.
Thank you. This was great.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.